John chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with the 26th verse today. John chapter 4, verse 26. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, another reaps. I send you to reap, and whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and praise you for the specials and for these hymns. I thank you for those that have brought their tithes and offerings unto you, and I ask too that we do use it to your honor and glory in furthering the gospel and giving out your precious word. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day. It is harvest time, as we've just read some verses concerning harvest time, and we just thank you for these beautiful days that you give us and to get the harvest out of the fields, and please that you continue to give us the beautiful leaves as the trees are beginning to change and come with such beautiful colors, whether it be spring when everything begins to turn green and then we come to the late summer, and we notice as things beginning to die, and the harvest is close by, and it's just thank you, Father, for all, and even the beauty of the snow as everything is white and sparkles and just beautiful. Oh, dear Father, you have done a greater work than any man is capable of painting the colors and the pictures, and please let us enjoy every day, and let us see every day in the goodness of that day. You know, worries and the troubles of each day take us down, Lord, and please don't let that, whether it be health or some heartache or another, just let us turn our eyes unto you and look to you today. Now please touch every heart that's here for salvation if necessary, if they have not come by faith to you, and just for growth and power and strength that we may praise and honor you with our lives. Please guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have been in this section of Scripture now for several weeks, from John chapter 3 up through this fourth to this point in the fourth chapter. This woman of Samaria, she comes with no long sermon. If you go to seminary, some people make the comment of going to cemetery, because as many a seminary has killed many a good preacher as they have went and gotten man's teachings instead of listening to the Holy Spirit and receiving God's word and God's teaching. Well, this woman didn't go to any seminary before she decided to speak to someone about salvation of their soul. She didn't go very carefully and give the two jokes and the 3 points and a prayer, as is taught that you should do. She had no formal training. She didn't even have the beautiful music that we had today. She had no fancy place to invite these folks that she knew into to tell them about Jesus. But what she did have was a power and an ability that brought revival to the city of Samaria. And what did she say? She said these simple words, the simple words that I have, this Christ told me everything. Is not this the Christ? Come and see. A man which has told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Verse 39. That's all she said. That's all she said. What a responsibility that we have to bring revival to this area, to our families and to our homes. And sometimes we worry so much about maybe our past. You know, the woman, Lydia, the seller of purple, they were having a Bible study when Jesus arrived and spoke to her. And here we find the woman of Samaria, which we would look at being the opposite side, a very worldly person. And Jesus spoke to her about the same, about salvation, and both trusted in the Lord Jesus. And this woman, again, had the power and the ability to bring revival by saying just a few words. And we need to do the same. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. She brought, by such few words, an excitement that the people of the land of Samaria needed to hear. And here they come to meet Jesus. We need to do the same. Doesn't matter whether we are bad or good in our past. What matters is that we know Jesus today. And if we know Jesus today, we have words to give. And I hope that you do know Jesus today. The disciples, meanwhile, while they were gone, they arrived at the same time. And when the combination between the Lord Jesus talking to this woman and her leaving her water pot, we talked last week how that she left her burden, her work, because this was much more important. And so she recognized what was important, and she couldn't wait to tell somebody. And so she left to tell the folks that she knew this news. Meanwhile, the disciples arrive, and when they come, why, they ask that the Lord Jesus would eat. And so they had went after food into the city, if you remember. And so, Master, eat. But here's the response that he has given here. And he says, but he said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And this word here, prayed him in the verse 31. It is that they have inquired of him. They have kind of come in a strong fashion. Please, Lord, eat. We want you to eat. The disciples ask a question, and they didn't understand the purpose that Jesus was here for. You see, we kind of get tied up in our daily things. You know, we get tied up in our work, in eating our meals at the right time. My grandparents, they ate at 11:30. They were farmers, but Grandpa would come to the house at 11:30. I mean, faithfully, 11:30. He knew that Grandma had dinner on the table at 11:30, and that's the time that Grandpa best be there, and he always was. I don't ever remember him ever being late. Well, there's a good reason why. You think, well, did they eat early at 11:30? Because Grandpa was out at 5 or 5:30, choring and taking care of the farm and working physically very hard, so by 11:30, he's hungry. No. 12 o'clock, Grandma's soap is on. And so he had to be in and eat 11:30, so the dinner was over, the dishes were done, so Grandma could sit and watch her soap opera. That was the priority of my upbringing. I remember very carefully. She was not about to miss that. I don't remember if it was 12 or 12:30, but it was not a thing that she was going to miss. You see, we set out and we look at our daily things, and activities have so much to do with those those things, whether it's eating or working or whatever it is, whatever duty that we have, we take very seriously. But you see, our Lord took his duty very seriously. And he says, you don't understand. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. His purpose was to come to do the will of his Father. And you know, as a believer, that should be our calling. And that should be our the most important thing in our life. Over food or raiment, our clothing, our house, or anything. We should always first be thinking of our Lord. And who is it that around us that needs to hear about Jesus? But we miss hundreds, if not thousands, of opportunities in our lifetime to tell people about Jesus because we're so focused on doing what this world calls us to do. And we set these things in we're out of kelter. Our priorities are not right. And you see, these disciples weren't any different. They walked with the Lord Jesus, and they were hungry. And they come, they may have even eaten some on their way. And they come, and they says, you know, here, you've got to eat. And he says, no, that's not important. What's important is what I just did. I told the Samaritan woman about me. And you know what else? There are men coming to hear more about me. Well, he didn't care if he was tired. He didn't care if he was hungry. He didn't care anything of those lines. He didn't care about any work that needed to be done. He cared about one thing, and that's doing his Father's will. He was occupied with the souls that needed to be saved. He was occupied with something different than material things. And we get so occupied with the things of this life that we just can't get ourselves away from that. We become hungry, and so we know we have to eat. We see something that needs to be done around the house, and so we do that. Everything becomes a priority to us instead of a priority being doing the will of the Father. They look to satisfy their need, their hunger, and we do the same thing. Jesus looked to satisfy a much greater need. And that was the need that the lost soul has, and that's to hear the words that Jesus saves. Here is the cross of Calvary. Jesus died for me, and he died for you. And I know he did. I have met the Christ the day that you got saved. For you to go to tell somebody, I have met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he lives within my heart. What a glorious day. Are people going to look strange at you? Yes, they will. Because, you see, they're of the world. But, you know, you don't care. Because the day you get saved is the day that you're no longer of this world. We are strangers and pilgrims. Our home is not this home. Our home is heaven. And we're awaiting to arrive there. Right now, we're just traveling through. And so please, don't get so attached to all the things of this world. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He was not hungry for food. He was desirous that these people that were coming would trust in him and be saved. There is nothing more important. Verse 32 and 33, and he said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Do you see, they don't get it, do they? They're not understanding what Jesus is saying as far as is important. And you know what? Most church members don't either. And when I say church members, I'm talking about believers, because there is no other kind of church member. Just to folks that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. Most people don't get it. They set everything out with this life and this world, and everything is so important. Jesus set his priority. He did not lean to the right or to the left because of a physical need. He looked immediately at the need of someone else's soul. You know, on Sunday night, while we've been talking about the need to listen. And when you begin to listen, you know immediately whether someone is saved or not saved. And by listening so carefully with the folks that you're around, you'll learn some things. You'll learn you don't want to be around them. Maybe it's some things that they say and things that they do, and all of a sudden you realize that that is contrary to the Word of God. So I don't want to be around it. So there's decisions that need to be made. But also listening, you also will have an opportunity to know when the Spirit of God says, tell them about me. Tell them about me. Because almost always when you're visiting with anyone, there'll be a time that they're hurting. Time that they don't understand something. It'll be a time that you can say, you need my Savior. He died for you. Will you please trust in Him? I know that you never have, and I know that your place where you go to worship doesn't do that. It doesn't matter. What matters is you know Jesus. But you see, so often we're too busy eating. We're too busy doing the things of this life. And we miss those opportunities because we too are so controlled and involved with a world that is not our home. Jesus set his priorities. Again, he did not come to feed the hungry. He didn't come to heal the sick. He didn't come to clothe the naked, the needy. And that's what most churches do. He's come to save the lost. The responsibility of the church is to save the lost. And that's not the responsibility of me as the leader, as the pastor of the church. It's not the responsibility of this building. It's a responsibility of you and me as the body of the Church of Christ to bring people to the Lord Jesus. That's the responsibility of the church. Are there other needs that need to be met from time to time? Yes, but they are secondary. They are secondary to the world is concerned about feeding the hungry, about healing of the sick, about clothing them. The world's worried about that. We got something else a lot more serious to worry about, and that's the lost souls that are surrounding us. That's what we need to be concerned about. Don't get so tied up with the things of this life and of this world. There are three things that come that every one of us face, and I would like for each one of you to think about this. Seriously, think about this. There are three things: material needs, physical needs, and spiritual needs. Now, you may think material and physical probably come hand in hand, and they could. They sure interlock with each other quite a bit. But I'm looking at material needs, whether it be house, clothes, car, and the care of them. The physical needs, I'm looking at the body, food, caring for the body, rest, all these things. And so that's physical. Now, spiritual, that comes into a heart condition. What does your heart desire? Now, out of these three things, how would you prioritize those? Which would come first in your life? We have material needs, physical needs, spiritual needs. Which would you say, if you were the politician that's running for office, and the question was asked at a debate, which would be your priority? You know, the last debate that we've just heard, why they had them do that on a couple of items. What is your priority? Which is the worst? Which do we need to correct first? Well, in our lives, which is the most important to you? When you think about it, just think about it. Which in your life is more important? Material things, physical things, or spiritual things? I think we all know what the answer should be. It should be spiritual things. Because physical and material are all things that go away, that don't last. Spiritual things are the only things that last. And spiritual things, first of all, of course, is salvation of your soul. Spiritual things is to learn how to praise God. To praise God with our life, with our voice. Learning, growing, praising God. We need a strength to raise our families. We need leadership. We need to be able to make a difference in our families, in our friends, in the folks that are around us. We need to make a difference in their lives. And the only way we're going to do that is if our life is different. And the only way our life can ever be different is if we look to things spiritual first. Look to the Word of God. And be faithful to do the will of God. Well, the only way we know to do that is to open the Word of God and spend time with Him every day. How do you know the job that you do? How do you know how to perform the job? What you do, whatever it is, whether it's around the house or whether it's at some workplace or wherever it is, how do you know how to do what you do? You've worked at it. Some things come natural. You know, some people can sit down at the piano and they just have a supernatural gift. A God-given gift. And others are very talented and can play very well, but they work so hard. But even the people with the gift still have to work. And for us to be spiritually strong, we have to work at it. The Holy Spirit lives within us, but go to His Word for training and for teaching and for learning. There's nothing more important than that. It's not going to hurt us to miss a meal now and then if that is a choice to studying His Word or eating. It's not going to hurt to miss some activity or something that doesn't get done around the house if there's a choice and a decision needs to be made between learning God's Word and growing and being a servant of God that we should be versus something gets put on the back burner. You know, we read down here, as we look at these verses, and we've got a long way to go before we get there, but verse 36, he that reapeth receives wages. You realize that when you're working for God, He pays you? You know, nobody else seems to, you know, we have to do the work of the world if we expect to live, and the work of God gets set aside because we're so busy doing something else. Well, we need to work, and we're supposed to support our families. But let's get things proper. Let's get things right. You know, today the church is so occupied with feeding the wrong thing. They feed the wrong meat. The church today has become a social/recreational club, and that's what they are. Let's call it people spend big bucks to join certain clubs. There's certain country clubs that you know they spend years ago. I know they would spend $3,000-$4,000 a year to be there. Plus, they have to spend so much there, whether it's on food or golf or whatever activity it might be. They had to spend so much money to do that. Now, what would happen if we would kind of change the rules here? And I would say, okay, you can come, but you have to spend so much money here. You have to pay so much to get here, and then I expect you to spend so much time and money when you come, or you can't come. You can't be a member of this club. Well, you know, churches teach today that you can't be saved by grace. Because, my friend, it's too easy. And sometimes I believe if God would have changed the rules and said you only be saved if you work, the church would be full. because people feel good about working for their salvation. And yet God gives it free. And there's no country club that allows you to come in without costing you money, lots of money. And so why not does God change his church and say, you can come for free, come and listen and grow. Instead of that, God would say, okay, here's the dollar figure. And if you can't pay, you can't come. You see, the world does that all the time and loves it. And the country clubs and these areas are packed with people spending megabucks to be there. And yet God's house is empty. Why? Why is God's house empty? This is not a social club. This is not a recreational center. This is a place where we come to hear the Word of God. And yet folks don't come. The church should be a place of refuge from the world. A place where believers gather. They come to feed their hungry souls with the Word of God. What more should a believer desire to have? Oh, to be here and to come and get away from this world. We are not commissioned to feed the hungry lives and bodies of this world. We are to feed and nourish the souls of men after we have brought them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And verse 30 says, and they said one to another between themselves. They talked. They could not understand. You see, all their thoughts were physical, were carnal, not spiritual. Why do we not understand how important it is to do the work of the Lord and spend time with him and get a desire in our heart to be together and fellowship together? Why is it that we don't do that? It's because our mind is also carnal. We think of physical things and things that we need to do as a need, as a demand. You wouldn't miss many meals, I promise. But how many days goes by that we don't have time to study the Word of God? We don't realize a need to feed upon the Word of God. It's just not there because we're carnal-minded. Verse 34 explains here, Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In doing the will of my Father, winning souls. Winning souls. He wasn't concerned about a physical need. And he was, as every one of us, he was hungry. We can go all the way back to the time when he rested at the well. He was wearied, so he sat at the well. So we know he has physical needs. He was hungry. And yet that had no priority in what he was doing. What is the will of the Father? Let's look up a couple verses of Scripture here to see if we can determine what the will of the Father is. Let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Don't go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, because it won't make a bit of sense to you. I tried that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is the will of the Son is to do the will of the Father, and the will of the Father is that none should perish. None. That means we got a work to do. We have a work to do. That none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. And in Matthew chapter 28, this is what they call the Great Commission. Some of the last words the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples before he left. And as we look now at Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to read from verse 18 through the end of the book, verse 20. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We are to reach the lost, follow with baptism, and then teach them to observe everything. That's our calling. That isn't just to me as the pastor of this church. That's to each and every one of us. That commission was given that all would hear it and follow. People, church people, you know, we can find so many things to do. So many things that occupy our time. You know, again, I'm hungry. I'm tired. That's the only time I can do this. Somebody called. Somebody stopped me, and so I didn't get to church. I didn't get the chance to spend time in prayer. I didn't get the chance to read the Word of God today because all these things take place. You know, there's so many reasons and so many excuses that we can come up with for why we neglect the calling that God has given us to serve Him. And most of us fall into the material, the physical, instead of looking to the spiritual part of our life that we should be serious about. Now, as we look very quickly, and the time is slipped away as always, but as we look now at the time period, and the Lord Jesus here in verse 35 of the fourth chapter of John, say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Jesus is trying to tell these folks what is serious. And we need to take the same. We need to send out the alarm that the time is short. Here is most of our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, several verses, but I tried to eliminate some of them for time, but I couldn't. And so Matthew chapter 6, just listen so carefully. It says there, Jesus is speaking, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord Jesus here back in chapter 4 of John is teaching this very same thing. He's saying, let's get our priorities straight. Let's get our priorities straight. You know, 4 months from seed to harvest, from planting to harvest, is about 4 months. You know, here our cycle is just slightly longer than that. But the crops and the harvest that they would make here was 4 months. Plant the seed, harvest the seed. Time to reap. Because there was a time that it was sown. 4 months. But Jesus says here, there are yet, say not ye, there are yet 4 months. Why did he say that? Jesus just planted and he reaped in the same day. So don't say there's 4 months to go before the harvest. Today is white unto harvest. Look at that. Jesus planted. And he didn't just reap one soul, the woman of Samaria. But we know, according to the 39th verse, that they believed, many in the city believed. So look at the harvest in one single day. In one single day. Now we have quite an example here of sowing and reaping. And we are out of time. And so you've got to come back next week, because I was hoping to get through this, but I am not going to rush through it, because there is much to learn here about what we're to be doing, the urgency of it, and the pay that we get for it. The rewards that we get. You know, this old world is set on rewards. God knows that. And so, you know, you do a certain job, you expect a certain pay for it. God uses the same principle here. He said, you're not doing this for nothing. I'm paying you wages for this. We shouldn't have to require wages to do the will of God. And yet God says he pays us. So we're going to begin there. Again, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Things were more important than things of this life. And please remember Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, that you'll look back through those verses of Scripture. And we're going to talk about harvest and how we treat harvest. We live in a farming community. And so we're going to take a look at the efforts and the work and the labor that goes in to a harvest, to a planting, cultivating, and the harvest. We need to take a look at that. So please, don't miss next week. And we're going to enjoy talking about the farmers, and something I'm very familiar with. I'm a farmer at heart. It's never left me, never will. And so please don't miss coming back next week. What is your priority? Is it to the gym every day to keep this physical body intact? It's important. This is our temple. We need to take care of our bodies. It's not saying that. We need to work. Material things are we need. There is nothing wrong with them. God made them. We need to praise him for it. But the problem is, if we get things out of kelter and the desire of things spiritual get pushed down the list of ways, that's when there's trouble. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what we need to do. Seek it first, and everything else will come. Everything else will come. You're struggling. You're fighting. You're you know, exhausted. This, that, and something else. Is it because we're trying to do the labor and we're leaving God out? It's just like the folks trying to go into the promised land. God says, I'm going to take you in, and I'm going to lead you in there, and I'm going to fight every battle before you, and you can take the land. And they went in and witnessed it, and they came back, and yes, the fruit's good, flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants. The people of Anak are there, and they're so big. And the example was a grasshopper in relationship to them. That was the relationship they gave. And I took a Bible and put it on the floor today, and I stood next to it, and I said, you know, that'd be a big grasshopper. But think, if you thought you were that small and the giant was that big, and then look at the giant looking down at something so tiny as that, they were afraid. They were afraid. And so they said, no, we're not going to do it. And let's pick a leader, and we're going back to Egypt. Well, they murmured so much that God was going to just eliminate them, and then Moses stepped in and saved them. And then after them hearing the judgment of God, they says, we'll go in, we'll go. And Moses says, not now, you won't. You walk into that land, you'll be slaughtered. Every one of you will be killed. And many were, because they attempted to go. He told them, turn away, don't go, because I am not going with you now. You had your chance. And see, we live most of our lives that way. We go the way that we want to go instead of the way that God wants us to go. So in turn, we're wore out and we have no strength and we lack leadership and all these things. And it's because we are doing it on our own power and we're defeated. But if we do it on God's power and His strength, do it His way, which is many times contrary to our way, then the rewards come. So please, seek the will of God. Salvation first, and then let's seek to serve Him and to praise Him and to honor Him. Let's close with prayer. Father, please, just guide and lead us today. I wanted to get to this part of the farming and the harvest, but that time is just not going to allow it. And I little bit upon little bit, precept upon precept, help us to this week take a look at our priorities, and maybe we'll see why that we just seem like we have such a fight and a battle all the time. It's because we've got things out of kilter. And Father, we know that every believer at one time or another does that. There is not one person that's ever been saved that hasn't taken you out of your proper place and put something of material or somebody or something else that we feel more important and put them there. We do it all the time, and forgive us for that, Father. Help us today to turn our eyes upon You. Those that are here that do not know You as their Savior, please, that they come today and trust in You. What a glorious, wonderful life. And then, Father, guide and lead the church, the saved, down Your road, down Your path, solid and strong and secure, feeling Your presence, feeling Your leadership, feeling Your physical strength. You can strengthen us physically, Father. So please, You lead. We'll follow. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.